We be live. Hello, everybody. Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hi. I like how now you have your own specific way of starting the show. So I say, we be live. And Susie says, like, hello. And you're like, hi, everybody. So that's good. Everybody is putting their own signature on. So, hey, Roy is going to join us tomorrow, I think, but he is in the live chat. I see Zaid here. I see Atheist Damien. I see Chris. I see Gal. I see Seed of Iblis. I see Space Leah. So, hi, guys, everyone in the live chat. So, this clip was sent to me by Susanna. So, I'm so glad I have Susanna, Anna, Rivka, Roy, and Jess and so many other people are sending me video clips for us to review. So this is amazing. Thank you, guys. This makes my job a lot easier. Everybody is like going around and finding interesting clips for us to review. And it's so great that we have these clips because people find it boring if I just bring out the chapter, the surah and the hadith and the tafsir. I'm like, hey, guys, look how horrible Islam is. This makes it so much more interesting for us to show you how bad Islam is, right? Because we show you what a problem somebody has a problem with a problem part of Islam, and then we will evaluate whether their take is correct or not. By the way, guys, if you think what we're doing is valuable, because Islam is such a dangerous, you know, toxic virus that is you know, spreading not just in Islamic countries, but it's actually getting less effective in Islamic countries. But, you know, in North America and in Europe and in Western countries, it's becoming such a problematic issue. And we need to fight back against it, especially because we have a lot of new converts to Islam. And we want to show people how bad this is, Islam is. And also a lot of leftists who defend this ideology. So we need to raise more. There needs to be more people raising awareness about how bad Islam is. So we need you guys to like the stream. When you like the stream, you know what happens? When you spend half a second liking the stream, YouTube is like, oh, people like the stream. Let me show it to more people. So you are making more people like this, watch the stream by just liking it. So spend half a second doing that. Anna, you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that today we have a lot of people watching from Israel. Like we are we're continuing with the Zionist takeover over this channel.
Yeah, you guys can't help yourself, can you? You just have to occupy everywhere. Right? What are you like? This is imperialism. But thank you for being here. I'm just kidding. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Make sure I do want to grow our fan base from Israel because I want to go back to Israel. And the more friends I have in Israel, the easier it is for me to just go there and stay at your places instead of paying for Airbnb. I already have Roy, right? Just kidding. Okay, so this is my plan. This is the entire reason.
You already talk like an Israeli. Like you think about the money and the financial benefits of having friends in Israel. Yes.
Right. This is the only reason why I'm like supporting Zionism. It's because I have friends in Israel that let me stay at their places when I go to Israel. That's the whole point. You know, I don't care about anything else. Anyways, let's watch this video from start to finish, and we will see how we want to respond to this. Okay. Oh, yeah. People are saying done liking. Thank you so much. Please do like the video. By the way, we also have a lot of Arabs from all across the world in our live chat as well. So it's not just Israelis. And this is what atheism, one of the benefits of atheism, okay? Religion, you know, takes us apart. Religion puts us against each other. Atheism can bring us back together again, no matter our ethnicity, nationality, or whatever. All right, let's watch this video.
The final straw was when I read...
Oh, wait, so let me give you the context. This is in Speaker's Corner in London, right? Speaker's Corner in London is a place where people go and they share their views and debate, and people are fighting each other. They're speaking against each other's views and stuff. It's a place where people, I've been there a couple of times. It's really fun. Now it's been taken over by Muslims, by the way. But anyways, that's where Speaker Corner is. And this woman is there. And apparently it seems like she was sympathetic to Islam, or maybe she's considering Islam. I don't know exactly how much, but she seems very, very upset and sad that she has found out that Muhammad has done something horrible or like endorses something very, very horrible, right? And she's just showing her concern that she's surrounded by Muslims who are trying to see what her concern with Muhammad is. And you can see how distressed she is about her new discovery. And now they're trying to respond to her. So that's the context. By the way, we just got two super chats, which I will respond to. Let me see. Erkin is saying, living in Turkey since birth, still can't understand why Turkey tries to support both sides of a conflict in many conflicts. Well, because it's easy. I will tell you. Let me explain to you this as a foreigner, Erkin. Because Turkey benefits from supporting Hamas because it's competing with the Islamic Republic of Iran in demonstrating that it's the leader. It can be provided a leadership role in the Islamic world, but it also has economic relationships with Israel because Israel is an economic powerhouse. And unlike Iran, it's not economically that isolated for it to be able to ignore Israel's economy. So that's why it does both. That's the reason why Turkey does both. And another super chat from Erkin is saying, oh, isn't that the same corner? Hatun promotes Christianity and Muhammad Hijab promotes Islam. Yes, that's exactly where that this is happening. And thank you again for the super chats. So let's go watch this video from start to finish without interruption.
Was when I read that that Muhammad was allowed, that I read that Muhammad had allowed.
Is the audio okay? Do you guys hear it? Or do you want me to play this off of the screen where I could increase the boost the volume? Let me know.
Can like I hear it, but it's a little bit low.
Hold on.
The audio.
It's a little bit low. I know how to fix this. I know how to make it so that you guys have a better audio. Instead of sharing it on StreamYard, I will share it off the screen. And this way, what we will have is VLC's boost audio tool. So let me know if this is much better.
Final straw was when I read that that Muhammad was allowed, that I read that Muhammad had allowed men in war to take already married women as their wives. And I said, well, surely there must be some kind of context for that. Surely Muhammad wouldn't encourage the married women.
So she said R-A-P-E. This was when you saw the silence. Was she, surely Muhammad wouldn't encourage the R-A-P-E?
Or what? And I said, well, surely there must be some kind of context for that. Surely Muhammad wouldn't encourage the married women by his own people. If he had the command, surely he would have stopped them. And I read every.
This is in the Quran, you read.
Yes.
Okay.
And I asked questions and I. And I was heartbroken to even learn that. Please do not mistake my tears for manipulation.
No, no. Where did you actually study this from, and which scholarly material have you read in response by the Muslims? Yeah. Then we can continue.
Yes, be back. So Imam,
you like something?
Man, I'm sorry. I read it out of a book of a commentary of the Quran written by Imam. I'm sorry. You're right. I think a lot of me is mistaken.
Particular books, yeah. Primarily Islamic sources that you read.
Commentaries.
Like?
I don't have them with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is it from, for example, Imam Jabir al-Tabari? You know, he's written a Tafsir al-Tabari, but only part of it is translated in English. So unless you have very good knowledge of Arabic language, you don't. Okay, so it couldn't have been from there. Ibn Kathir is available, but he doesn't mention any of these things that you say. Like Zamakhshari, likewise, coming from there. Ar-Razi, not from there. So I can give you all of these names, and you won't find anything that you say you've read is from there. So it cannot be from our primary material. The response by the Muslims, you've read from which kind of the academic sources have you read?
You've got me. I cannot cite my sources. Yeah. I apologize, because you're right. I should not rely on emotion here. I should rely on scholarly articles, mm-hmm. and I should rely on real people who have studied what they've said. And I apologize for making it seem like I have studied, because I haven't. You're right. Final straw was when I read.
Okay, so we have to take this part apart one by one, but I just first want to address a lot of people in the live chat. A lot of people are now referring to Muhammad's RAPE of Aisha in the live chat. This has nothing to do with that. Muhammad has done many horrible things and encouraged and endorsed many horrible things. This is not about Muhammad and Aisha or RAPE of children and having relation, you know, intercourse with children, and you know, technically that was with that. That's a whole different thing. This is about a different verse and teaching in the Quran that she has discovered, and she has understood it correctly. And you can see the apologists around him are making her doubt what she has read and understood, especially because she doesn't speak Arabic, which is something that a lot of Dawah boys, a lot of Muslim apologists constantly use as a weapon against you when you're trying to understand what Islam is and what it teaches. But we will go through it and show you how correct she is. Her first understanding of what she wrote is completely correct. And then we will go back to video again and review it second by second. But before we do that, Noman was saying, hello, lovely people. I hope everyone is doing okay. Thank you so much, guys, for the super chats. Your super chats really help us out, especially because this stream is probably going to get demonetized. So thank you, everybody, for the super chats. Go on, Anna. Anna, you had a point.
Well, I was very angry hearing what these Muslim apologists say to her, because first of all, I think like they are lying to her, as we are about to see in the verses of the Quran, in hadith, in tafsirs as well. And everything is very clear where she read it. And it's part of Islam, and they are trying to make it to whitewash it and just use the fact that she doesn't know Arabic or doesn't remember the exact commentator where she read it. They use it against her. And, you know, I really hate it when Muslims use the knowledge of Arabic as a weapon, because a lot of Muslims don't speak Arabic, and even Arab Muslims don't necessarily understand Quranic Arabic. Even Arab Muslims don't necessarily understand everything the Quran says, because it's different from the language used on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. And another hypocrisy is that when you want to accept Islam, or when you want to endorse Islam, or when you want to say positive things about Islam, they don't come and stop you and say like, no, wait, you can't say that positive thing. You don't understand Arabic. Or when you want to convert to Islam, they don't say like, wait, no, you have to make sure you have to completely understand Islam and have read every single scholarly work before you accept Islam, or before you want to say something positive about Islam. They're like, no, you could have no knowledge or the most simplistic knowledge, and they will accept that from you. But if you want to say something bad about Islam, or if you want to leave Islam, then you have to have maybe 5 or 6 PhDs on Islam and be an expert scholar in Islam, Arabic, to be able to say the slightest critique of Islam. And if you don't, then you don't understand what you're talking about. So the double standard here is insane. It's insane. They're hypocrites. They're obviously hypocrites. But let's go to the Quranic verse that she's referring to. So let me actually bring up the video again. And let's see the claim and the Quranic verse. Again, we don't even have to go to the hadith or the tafsir. We could just use the Quran itself to show what she's saying is true. But we will also go to the hadith and the tafsir just to make sure that we're understanding the Quranic verse accurately, just to make sure that maybe we don't understand. And also, guys, this is the trick here. If you don't know Arabic, the reason why you can understand that your interpretation of the Quranic verse is correct without understanding Arabic is because the tafsir. So tafsir is the commentary on the Quran, right? And the tafsir is often done by the people who know Arabic very, very well, okay? More than Arab-speaking people. They understand Arabic very well. So if you read a Quranic verse and you think like, oh my God, that's horrible. But maybe I don't understand Arabic, so I'm not understanding this well. But then you go read the tafsir and the translation of the tafsir. And the person who knows Arabic, who has dedicated the entire life in understanding the Quran, and their interpretation of that verse matches what you thought that Quranic verse means, then it doesn't really matter anymore that you don't understand Arabic. Because the person who understands Arabic is giving you the same interpretation. So in that point, there's three options left here, right? Either the Quranic verse means exactly what you thought it meant, number one. Number two, it doesn't mean what you thought it meant, and Quran is an idiot. Allah is an idiot, and the Quran is a horrible method of communication, because not only you misunderstood what the Quranic verse is saying, the people who understand Arabic and they're studying the Quran, they also misunderstood it. So maybe Allah didn't mean that. Maybe Allah didn't mean that you could rape women, okay, slaves and in war, but he just doesn't know how to talk. So he's an idiot. So that's option number two. Or option number three, he doesn't exist, and this whole thing is just made up bullshit, okay? So yeah, none of them are good for Islam. None of these options are good for Islam. So, by the way, we got another super chat. Thank you so much for the super chat by Secular Sakai saying, hey guys, I'm streaming in a few minutes and just wanted to pop in to say hi. Hope your day goes well. And long live Atheist Republic. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Secular Sakai, with the super chat. And I also see Chris just got 5 memberships for the people in the live chat. Thank you so much for the memberships, Chris. Appreciate you. People are being so generous. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for people using Super Chats, because this stream is probably going to get demonetized. So we really do need your Super Chats and gift memberships. So let's look at here, and let's go through the first claim that she made, and then look at the Quranic verse relevant to what she's saying. And then we go analyze how the apologists respond to it as well.
Final straw was...
So it gets cut. She says the final straw when she was studying Islam.
Final straw was when I read that that Muhammad had allowed men in war to take already married women as their wives. And I said, well, surely there must be some kind of context for that. Surely Muhammad wouldn't encourage the married women by his own people. If he had the command, surely he would have stopped them. And I read
this is in the Quran you read.
Yes.
Okay.
And I asked questions, and I...
So she said that he interrupted her. She said, and I read every sahih. So she knows. I mean, it's so disgusting how they're making her feel like she doesn't know what she's talking about, because she clearly does. She says not only did she go and read the Quran, She went and read the hadith related to that verse and the tafsir related to that verse. And she even understands the different gradings of hadith. She said, I read sahih. So she knows. So even when she went on to do research to figure out whether this Quranic verse actually means what she thinks it means, she also paid attention to whether the hadith was authentic or not authentic. So she is like... The level of research that this woman has done is above the knowledge of 99% of the Muslims out there. And look how they make her feel like an idiot at the end of it, even though she's smarter than them. It's disgusting. Anna, go on.
And also, when Muslims say, where did you read that? What hadith exactly? Like, 99% of the time, you are not going to remember, like, wait, it was Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, which book? Tahara? It was, like, Tahara number. Hey. Like, it's, they basically use this against her. Like, I think they know it exists, but they use the fact that she just can't remember the name where she read it. They use it against her, and she
I was gonna get to that. Anna, I was gonna get to that part where he does that, right? At this point in the video, I want to just focus on the claim that she's making, because you're right. We're going to get to that part where he does that. Hold on. We just got a super chat from Indominus Rex. Thank you so much for the super chat, saying Five Pillars Guy is a perfect gaslighter. Yeah, so what Anna was describing is called gaslighting, and I've seen a lot of people do that. Exactly. You're right. So hold on.
If he had the command, surely he would have stopped them. And I read every.
This is in the Quran you read.
Yes.
Okay.
And I asked questions and I.
Look how okay. You see, this is a lot of people are making fun of her and also saying that this is crocodile tears and she's just being extra dramatic. And you could see also on Twitter, people are doing that as well. A lot, like the person who the place where we found Susanna found this video, and I downloaded it from Twitter, is it was where a Muslim posted this to make fun of her and claim that she's being fake and saying that this is crocodile tears. Okay.
And I was heartbroken.
All right, let's actually go before we rest of the video. Look at the Quranic verse, right? So this is the Quranic verse that we are talking about, and it's a famous one. It's one of the worst ones out there when it comes to Quranic verses, because a lot of people, when they want to embarrass Islam and show how disgusting Islam is, they go to the relationship between Muhammad and Aisha. And to be fair, that is disgusting. However, this is even more disgusting, way more disgusting. First of all, even when it comes to child marriage, the Quran is way more disgusting itself than Muhammad and Aisha's relationship, which we will get into at some point one day. But this is even worse. And the reason it's even worse is because it's much more widespread and it's Quranic. You know, when it comes to the relationship between Muhammad and Aisha, you have to refer to the Hadith. But when it comes to this is a Quranic verse. But to understand 424, so Surah 4, chapter 24. By the way, this is not Surah Al-Imran. This is Al-Imran. This is Nisa, 420, chapter 4. Yeah, Nisa, the Surah of Woman. So, So I don't know why this website is saying Al-Imran up here. But to understand this 424, you have to go to 423, because you're not going to understand the context of 424 before you understand what was being discussed here, right? So you can see here in the Arabic, forbidden to you, right? This is the same root word that haram comes from, this word here. So alaykum. So also forbidden to you. So this verse is starting by saying what is forbidden to you to have sex with. Who are the people who are forbidden to you to have sex with, right? So for example, it starts with, and it's talking to men. Obviously, it's talking to men because the Quran is mostly directed to men, not women, most of the time. So it's saying your mothers are forbidden to you, your daughters are forbidden to you, so you can't have sex with your mothers, you can't have sex with your daughters, you can't have sex with your sisters, you can't have sex, and the list continues. This is a big list of people who you cannot have sex with. And it's pretty normal, like you can understand, like, okay, yeah, don't have sex with your moms, don't have sex with your daughters, don't have sex with your sisters, no problem, okay? This 423 is nothing that to be offended about, right? But then understanding the context, we could now go to Quran 424, the verse right after, where when it says also forbidden, now you understand the context of what it means. What we're talking about. Also forbidden, these are people who you are not allowed to have sex with. So also forbidden are married women. Okay, that makes sense. Women who are married, you cannot have sex with married women. Except, and that's where now it turns weird. Like even before reading the rest, okay, don't look at, guys, close your eyes. Don't look at the rest. Don't look at the rest. It's already bizarre. Oh, it's already bizarre here. Like when I first read this Quranic verse, I remember as a child, just reading that except just shocked me. that you have in the Quran, the word, the direct word of God is saying there are situations where you can have sex with somebody who's already married to another man. The Quran does say that. And by the way, guys, I have debated this verse with many, many Muslims. I guarantee there is no way, there is no excuses for this Quranic verse. This Quranic verse means exactly what I'm telling you here it means. I have debated this verse in English and in Persian with mullahs. With mullahs, I have debated this verse with religious scholars in Islam, in Iran, and this, there is absolutely no way of getting out of this verse. This verse by itself is enough to end Islam. Okay, so it says, except female, so it gets worse. Who are these married women who the Quran allows you to have sex with? Female captives in your possession. Oh, there's a, let's see, here it says footnotes. A man was not allowed to have relationship with bondwoman who he had taken captive in war unless he made sure she was not pregnant. Okay, so look, this is a footnote that is part of the tafsir that is adding to the Quran. And we feel like, okay, this is too bad. Let's see if somebody wants to like whitewash this. Is there a whitewashing? Like, are somebody trying to make it seem better than it is? Let's see what the explanation here is. Even the explanation that is added here, like, oh, okay, so it's telling me, like, maybe I misunderstood this. I'm not allowed to have a relationship with somebody who I've captured in war. Okay, good. Maybe, like, what is it? Unless, like, oh, no, you can. You can. Just make sure they're not pregnant, okay? So even the footnote is telling you, like, okay, yes, you can. But just make sure they're not pregnant. So at first, when you read the footnote, it feels like, okay, no, maybe I misunderstood this. But no. Okay. So I want to let's see how they try to get around this. How the people in this video try to get around, because usually at this point, Muslim apologists will come and try to say, like, well, no, you just misunderstood the Quran. You don't understand Arabic. Go read the scholarly work on this and see what the ulama or what the religious scholars are saying about this, right? And we will now, Anna sent me the tafsir on this, of Ibn Kathir, by the way, which is exactly the tafsir that they refer to in this video. And they try to tell her that she didn't do the study, and we'll go and we'll see if what the tafsirs show. But before we do that, we just got two more super chats. By Indominus Rex is saying, add Zishan. Wait, I don't understand this. Also in that list, Smile to Jannah one. Okay, I don't know what this. Oh, Zishan is the name of Smile to Jannah. Okay, I understand. Thank you so much for the super chat. And then we also got another super chat from Benny saying, also so misogynistic, so typical even in the West. And then we got another super chat from Cleo saying, in my opinion, the Dawah guys don't create content to convert, but provide a tiny amount of confirmation bias for those so scared of their own critical thoughts. Maybe. I don't know what goes on in their mind. But again, thank you guys for the super chats. Let me show you how they try to get away with what she has discovered in the Quran. So she's saying, I was so heartbroken.
And I asked questions, and I'm sorry. And I was heartbroken to even learn. Please do not mistake my tears for manipulation.
No.
Okay, so here, look, see, she says, please don't mistake my tears for manipulation, right? So let's look at here. They posted this on Twitter to make fun of her. The person who recorded this posted this on Twitter, and he also himself said, like, if you haven't seen crocodile tears before, here's your chance, right? That's what the context of, this is where we found this video. They recorded this and posted this. The whole point of posting this video was to make fun of her, right? And, you know, 6,000 people liked it. And you can see here people are saying, that's literally, they're calling her, and so this person is saying, with a Palestinian flag and a Malaysian flag is saying that's literally what Islamophobes are doing. They don't even read from real resources, just made up stuff to justify their hatred. So this person is saying that these people have not done their research. They just hate Islam, and that's what they're doing. And then somebody else with another Palestinian flag is saying, holy SHIT, is she okay? Should we start a GoFundMe to get her some therapy? So again, making fun of her that she's crying. And this person, Muhammad, is saying credits to the man who kept calm. So the person who's like talking to her, trying to tell her that she's wrong, saying credits to the man who kept calm despite the awful allegations she made and managed to educate her about the importance of using reliable sources. We will get to those reliable sources. Anna, it seems like you have something to say. Go on.
Yeah, actually, like, I got to check the tafsirs he mentioned, and they say exactly what we are showing here, that this verse is talking about sex with captives. This verse is pretty clear. Like, the Quranic text is saying those in your possession. Who is in your possession? Your slaves and female captives from war. This is the way to get females into your possession.
Right. It's Anna, it's so crazy that these people who are saying that she should have been checking credible sources without before making these allegations, they didn't actually go check those credible sources. Because as soon as you go check those sources, you will see that she's correct. So it's in the level of irony and hypocrisy is just off the charts. Go on.
I also want to state that At-Tabari is like one of the most detailed commentary on the Quran, and it's mostly in Arabic. So I actually went to the Arabic text, read it, used Google Translate to understand every single word, and yes, At-Tabari also has this. Exactly like in Ibn Kathir, the Sunni tafsirs, they agree that this verse is about captives.
Yes, but here's the thing. Al-Tabari is like the Sirah, right? It's not like the Tafsir, right? It's like the what? So, but that right? Correct? That's not the like, real necessary.
I think it's both kind.
It's kind of both, but a lot of Muslims kind of when they want to get around that, they will say that that's not credible. But again, the Ibn Kathir Tafsir is one of the most legitimate tafsirs out there. And if you read that one, you can see that this is the commentary is she was correct about the commentary. But we also have hadith, sahih hadith, which basically makes it clear what this verse is about, which I will get to, right? So if you go to the sirah, if you go to the tafsir, if you go to the authentic hadith, everywhere you go, you will see that she was correct. Any one of these that if you have checked, if these people had bothered, these Muslims here bothered to check, she will say that she is more knowledgeable. This white woman without a hijab that is researching her way into Islam is more correct about these lifelong Muslims who are claiming that she has not checked the credible sources and they're so sure about it. Look, this person, the person that I read first, the one that says that they don't even read from real resources, just made up stuff to justify the hatred. This comment got 1,400 likes. This other person who's making fun of her crying, saying that she needs therapy, got 500 likes. This person that says, oh, credit to the other person for being calm against the awful allegations and to manage to educate her and use reliable sources. This one got 900 likes. Right? This person, Adam, saying all tears are crocodile tears. 300 likes. Look at this one. This one is saying, what an odious, vile woman. What a vile woman. All she's doing is asking questions and she's concerned about what she's learning. They're calling her a vile woman. This one got almost 300 likes. And look at this one. This one is saying, what the hell was that? She has a crying problem. 200 likes. White woman tears. 300 likes. Go on.
Also, like, the only justification for this verse that I could find was in a Shia tafsir, actually, that the Shia tafsir says that it doesn't talk about captives, it talks about women slaves in general. But if you look into the Quran, you can find a lot of places where the phrase for what your hand possesses is used to for captives captured in war. Yeah. I don't know if we have the time to go into this, but there is some correlation in these two, in the Quran, actually. So let me explain. Like just one of Siru who's saying that it's not captives, it's just sex slaves.
So got it. Let me just say what Anna just said to you guys. The only tafsir that we have that doesn't refer to these women who you could rape and not as slaves is actually worse. So every single tafsir that we have out there tells you that these are slaves that you capture. Sorry, these are every single tafsir. Let me actually restart. Every single tafsir that we have there, you know, every source of widely recognized tafsir that we have out there tells you that these are slaves that you have captured in war, except one that actually makes it worse. That says that these are other slaves as well, not just slaves that you have captured in war. So if you have another slave that you haven't captured in war, if she's married, you could also rape her as well. So that's what Anna is saying. But which is the only other tafsir that doesn't match other tafsir. Hold on, let me finish my sentence. The only tafsir that doesn't match with the other tafsirs is the tafsir that makes the situation a lot worse. Go on, Anna.
Yeah, it's tafsir al-Mizan. It's available in Persian and English. So you can also find it in English. Write in Google, tafsir al-Mizan, Surah 4, and the verse is 24. So here you go.
Right. Okay, so also let's look at the tafsir, by the way. So because people are like, oh, you're making your... Anna sent me this, so thank you so much, Anna. And again, look at this. Oh, wait, actually, before we do that, let's go to the video to show that what they're telling here about the tafsir.
Where did you actually study this from, and which scholarly material have you read in response by the Muslim? Then we can continue.
This is now, Anna, when you said that earlier, this is the time that I wanted to get to this because I wanted to say it exactly when they do it, right? So this is a trick that Anna mentioned earlier that they constantly use, okay? You go and you do your research. You go read the hadith, you go read the seerah, you go read the tafsir, right? And you make sure that these sources are authentic. You make sure that these sources are sahih, for example, right? And what do you memorize? Do you memorize exactly the sources that you found? At the time that you were reading it, you were checking to make sure that this is authentic and it's correct. But you haven't memorized it. Obviously, there's a lot of information here. And they know you probably haven't memorized the name of the goddamn scholar or the goddamn imam that had that tafsir. And they will use that against you. Like, where did you read it? What was your source? Right? Especially at Speaker's Corner where you don't have your like laptop and everything in front of you that you could double check where you read it. And you're like, okay, say this. And even if you could say it by memory, right? They will go to the next level because they know you can't have memorized everything. Eventually, they will get you at a point where you don't remember something. And they will use that as a reason for why everything you've just said is wrong. And they will record you and they will play it and they will embarrass you because of it. So that's what they're doing to her. Okay.
This from and which scholarly material have you read in response by the Muslim? Yeah. Then we can continue.
Yeah. Yes.
They're trying to make her feel like and she knows that because she's been doing this for a while, it seems, she knows that when these debates happen, people just drop names left and right, and she feels she's having an imposter syndrome right now. She feels inadequate. They are being successful at making it feel like she's not worthy of having this commentary, even though she's better than them.
Read it out of a book of a commentary of the Quran written by Imam.
It's so sad. It's so sad that she's so good at this and she feels Look what they're, how they're making him feel. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. You are better than them. Somebody should tell, somebody find this woman and tell her that you are better than them. Look how they're making her feel. This is makes me, this is making me so angry.
I'm sorry, but you're right. I think a lot of me is mistaken.
Particular books, yeah. Primarily Islamic sources of Iraq.
Commentaries.
Like?
When she says commentaries, she's referring to the tafsir.
I don't have them with me. I'm sorry.
Is it from, for example, Imam Jabir al-Tabari? You know, he's written a Tafsir al-Tabari, but only.
Oh, Tafsir al-Tabari. Okay, that's the one.
Part of it is translated in English. So unless you have very good knowledge of Arabic language, no. You don't. Okay, so it couldn't have been from there. Ibn Kathir is available, but he doesn't mention any of these things that you say. Like Zamakhshari, likewise, coming from there. Al-Razi, not from there. So yeah. I can give you all of these names, yeah. And you won't find anything that you say you have read is from there. So it cannot be from our primary material. Yeah. The response.
Okay, so remember what she said. By the way, guys, again, they do this. Here's the thing, Anna. They even do this to apostate prophet. Apostate prophet recently could not remember and did not know one of the tafsirs out there. And they went out there. Somebody, apostate prophet who has spent so many years studying tafsir, he didn't know one of the tafsir books out there. And they saw that as a complete dismissal of his entire understanding of Islam. Which is insane. Even if you don't know exactly, remember every single one of these tafsir books, the fact is that they're on the goddamn internet. You don't need to remember the names of the tafsir books for you to be able to just search and refer to them. Go on, Anna, you want to make a point?
Yeah, and like here he mentions At-Tabari, which is a tafsir that I read, and I can confirm that he has the same logic that we use. It has the same reading that it is talking about captives. And also Ibn Kathir, he says Ibn Kathir doesn't have this. He said this, that Ibn Kathir doesn't have this.
Ibn Kathir is more famous than all of them, right? That's the most famous one, mm-hmm. when it comes to tafsir. So we have that. I didn't prepare the Al-Tabari one, but I have the Kathir one. Here, let's listen to him.
Knowledge of Arabic language? Yeah. You don't. Okay, so it couldn't have been from there. Ibn Kathir is a...
Okay, Ibn Kathir. So here's the thing. The person that is trying to make her, gaslight her, and tell her this is all wrong, he himself mentioned Ibn Kathir. So let's look at that, right? This is what Anna sent me. By the way, guys, Anna is more knowledgeable than me when it comes to tafsir sources. She's been studying the crap out of this, which is great. She went and found this and sent me this. Ibn Kathir. So you can see this. Let me zoom in. See Ibn Kathir. So Ibn Kathir is the name of the person who's doing the commentary, the tafsir of the Quran. This is Al-Quran and this is tafsir. You see the tafsir? This means the commentary. So you can see the person. This is exactly what that person was trying to use to gaslight her, tell her what she understood is wrong, and she should have read a Quranic commentary like this, because these are the Islamic scholars that you have to refer to understand whether or not where was it? Let me go to, therefore it was somewhere here. Hold on, let me find it before I share the screen. Captives, was it? No, it was the captives through. Oh, here, I found it. It's on the screen now. Okay, so this is the part that we want to see. So again, this is you can see that this was Ibn Kathir. I didn't change it. Okay, so here, this is exactly the part of the Quran that we had in mind from chapter 4, verse 24. So again here, except those whom your right hand possesses, right? So now this is the commentary part, right? Except those whom you're acquired through war. So again, Ibn Kathir is telling you the people that you can have sex with does not include married women unless you have acquired them through war. for you are allowed such woman after making sure they are not pregnant. Again, here. This is in Ibn Kathir. And now he's referring to a hadith. So here's how the tafsir works, by the way. And I think you know this. So when you're doing a tafsir, you refer to a hadith to make sure that your tafsir is correct. So tafsir is commentary. So if you're an Islamic scholar and you're doing commentary of the Quran, you refer to an authentic hadith to make sure that your commentary of the Quran is correct. And let's look at a commentary, a hadith, right? Look at, this is a hadith, and look at, this is great sahih. So this is a hadith. So now, guys, we showed you the Quranic verse, which showed you a commentary, a tafsir by Ibn Kathir, something that they themselves said is a reliable source of understanding the Quran. So that will confirm what we say. But more importantly than the tafsir is a hadith that has been graded as sahih, which means it's authentic. And here's all the references for which hadith we're using. It's all down here, right? So here, this hadith gives you the sha'n al-nuzul of the verse. Sha'n al-nuzul means that in what context was that Quranic verse revealed? So let's look at what it says. Let's look at what the context was. The context is, we captured some woman on the day of this. Let me read the Arabic of it so it's easier to read for me. Yom Otas. Okay, here it is, right? So Yom Otas, on the day of Otas, right? So we captured some woman on the day of Otas. So these are some Muslims back in the day of Muhammad. They're saying the story. They're, you know, narrating the story that on the day of Autas, we captured some women. And they had husbands, so they were married among their people. That was mentioned to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is Muhammad. Messenger of Allah is Muhammad. So like we said, we went to Muhammad and like, okay, we captured some women and they're married. What can we have sex with these women? These are slaves that we have captured in war. Are we allowed to have sex with them? So Allah revealed, not just Muhammad. So this is not just a hadith. This is referring, when you say Allah revealed, it means that it's referring to the Quranic verse. So Muslims, when they captured some woman in war, they went to Muhammad to ask if they have permission to rape them. And at that moment, a verse was revealed from Allah. And you can see it even refers to which verse was revealed. And then it says, so Allah revealed a woman already married, except those whom your right hand possesses. So now it's telling you the context in which that Quranic verse that we saw earlier, see, this is 424 here. And you see 424 here as well. So this hadith is telling you the context in which this Quranic verse was revealed, which makes it clear exactly that our interpretation of this Quranic verse is completely accurate according to this hadith. And you could also see it that even Ibn Kathir uses hadith to show you that his tafsir, his commentary on the Quranic verse is legitimate. So she was completely right. And he is also referring to the tafsir that makes her completely correct.
But let's go. But he doesn't mention any of these things that you say.
He said he doesn't mention, Ibn Kathir doesn't mention any of these things that you mentioned. We just saw that he did exactly that. Ibn Kathir did exactly that. You are a liar. You are either a fool or a liar. I don't know which one.
And you know, so
unless you have a very good
one. Oh, Anna has a point. Go on.
All these people in the commentary, they also didn't check, not even Kathir and not Al-Tabari. They also not even once checked this, because if they checked this, they would get to the same conclusion as this girl.
Right. And guys, you don't need to be an Islamic scholar and you don't need to know everything about Islam and know all the sources and all the you know, the name of these ulama or the name of the tafsir books or the name of the hadith, because you could just look it up. You don't have to have it memorized. It's easy to do some research and just connect the dots. It's easy to do that. Don't make them feel like you're inadequate in doing some research. That's the whole point of doing research, because you haven't memorized every goddamn thing. You could just look it up. We have this thing called the internet, and you could verify everything. Everything.
Imam Jabir al-Tabari, you know, he's written a Tafsir al-Tabari, but only part of it is translated in English. So unless you have very good knowledge of Arabic language, yeah, you don't. Okay, so it couldn't have been from there.
Because you don't know Arabic, it couldn't have been from there. It was from there. We just saw it. Go on, Anna.
And, you know, right now we have Google Translate. So even with very basic Arabic or even non-Arabic, you can still, like, understand 95% of what at-Tabari writes. Google Translate is pretty good, actually.
But Anna, Ibn Kathir has been translated completely. And I know yeah, Tabari, I don't know.
Even that at-Tabari isn't translated completely.
But the Ibn Kathir that he mentions is like, oh, it's not all of it has been translated to English. No, sir, it has been, and a couple of times by multiple people.
Ibn Kathir is available, but he doesn't mention any of these things that you say. That Zamakhshari likewise coming from there. Ar-Razi, not from there.
He's acting like he's so knowledgeable. No, she's more knowledgeable than you are, sir.
I can give you all of these names, and you won't find anything that you say you have read is from that. So it cannot be from our primary material. The response by the Muslims you've read from, which one of the academic sources have you read?
You've got me. I cannot cite my sources.
So look at this. It's so insane, because she has read scholarly sources, but she can't cite them. Because she was saying that she read the Sahih authentic sources and everything, but the fact that she can't cite them right now is being used as a way to say, like, what? There's two different claims. Have I read them, or can I cite them? No, I can't, because I'm not a goddamn robot. And also, even if you haven't read the scholarly tafsir, you only had to have read the Sahih hadith, and that would be good enough. Go on, Anna.
Like, I've been arguing with Muslims for quite a long time. A lot of the times, even if you mention, like, the correct surah, I say, like, oh, it's in Surah 24, right in the beginning, about adultery and such stuff. And they say, well, what verse exactly? And, like, I need to search what verse. Yeah, I know in general means where approximately it is, where I read it in the last time, but I can't mention the surah correctly unless, like, I memorize this. Like, even Muslims aren't able to do this unless you are, like, a sheikh and memorize the entire Quran and know a bunch of tafsirs. Even Muslims can't do this.
You know, Anna, this actually shows how pathetically weak and insane and backwards their religion is, and how hard it is to defend their religion with logic, because that's the tricks that they have to pull off. Instead of being able to defend their religion, they were like, well, can you tell me what chapter 5 verse, I don't know, 4 of the Quran says by heart? No? Okay, all your arguments are now invalid. The reason why you have to use these tactics is because you have nothing to defend your religion. You are admitting how pathetically weak your religion is that you have to use such tactics to defend it. But let me finish this last
one. Even if you memorize the verse, they are still going to not leave you alone because you don't speak Arabic natively. Like, you should be a native Arab speaker and an Islamic scholar and memorize the entire...
No, that's not good enough, Anna. If Arabic is your native language, do you know what they will say? They will say, the Arabic of the Quran is different from native Arabic. So even if you speak Arabic natively, do you understand classical Arabic? No, so because you're not well versed in classical Arabic, it's not good enough. That's what they would say. Right. Oh no! Wait! Even if you understand, like, no, I have went and studied classical Arabic, You know what they would say? Like, well, is your understanding of classical Arabic as good as this specific scholar? No, then shut the hell up. It will never be good enough. It will never be good enough. I promise you.
I apologize, because you're right. I should not rely on emotion here.
Now she's apologizing. They have gone to the point that now she's apologizing. It's disgusting.
Which one of the academic sources?
Oh, look, Zaid is confirming. Zaid in the live chat, who's a Palestinian living in Jordan, is confirming what I'm saying. Zaid is saying, Armin, 100%. As a native Arabic speaker, I hear that argument a lot. Thank you, Zaid. Thank you so much, Zaid. And also Chris with the super chat. Thank you so much, Chris, is saying this is the same way the Catholic Church oppressed the people by convincing them that only the priests know what's correct. Dark ages gatekeeping. I like that. I'm going to use that. Thank you so much for the super chat. Anna, go ahead. Anna has a point.
Like, imagine if I tell someone who criticizes Judaism that he should study Hebrew and Aramaic. And when he finally studies Hebrew and Aramaic, I say, no, you don't speak Aramaic and Hebrew natively. And then when he is native in Hebrew or Aramaic, I say, no, you know, the Hebrew in the Old Testament is very different from modern Hebrew. You should be very well versed in the Hebrew of the Old Testament.
Right, exactly. I mean, people do that. By the way, people do, like, Christian and Jewish apologists do that, to be fair. But let's finish this. Hold on.
You got me. I cannot cite my sources. Yeah. I apologize, because you're right. I should not rely on emotion here. I should rely on scholarly articles, and I should rely on...
Okay, see, this is a lot of things. First of all, it's fine to be emotional, right? A lot of times, this is a weapon people use, especially against women, okay? Actually, also, especially, no, wait a minute. I take that back. They use that especially against men as well, because men are not supposed to be emotional, because that's apparently a womanly trait. This is why we have, which is insane, which is a nonsense standard to have. Why shouldn't I be emotional? This is outrageous. This is outrageous. This is heartbreaking. She was heartbroken. She liked this figure. She was feeling some sort of, you know, belonging to, I don't know what, positive feelings towards Islam. And now she discovered that the person, the prophet of this religion, is a monster. And she was heartbroken. I want to make this claim. So give me some time to make this claim. She was completely justified to be sad about it, but they're making her feel like she was using her emotions to figure out what's happening. That's not what happened. She was using her logic and her researching skills to figure out what is the truth. And once she discovered what the truth is, she was having an emotional reaction towards that discovery. It's not that she was using her emotion as a tool. She was using logic as a tool. And the conclusion of that logical analysis was something that she was justifiably upset about. But now she's been made to feel like she was using her emotions to figure out what is true. Go on, Anna.
And you know what I also, another argument that Muslims use sometimes, they say, well, back then the times were different, and you take like Ibn Kathir from the 14th century. Right now, it's not like this. Here we have a commentator saying that it's not permissible or something. Like they try to whitewash Islam in very recent years, like saying that Islam doesn't permit stoning for adultery. I have seen this a lot. But when you go to tafsirs and when you go to the Sahih Hadiths, you see that both in Shia Islam and in Sunni Islam, they both have a lot of hadiths about stoning to death for adultery. So, like, right. They take something which has no basis in Islam, and they make it, they whitewash it, they make it more appropriate for modern times, instead of saying, no, this scripture is not good. Like, they can't say about the scripture that it's not good, so they just, like, ignore it for the Western public.
Yes. All right, but let me just finish this last part before we make any other commentary.
I cannot cite my sources. Yeah. I apologize, because you're right. I should not rely on emotion here. I should rely on scholarly articles, and I should rely on real people who have studied what they've done. And I apologize for making it seem like I have studied, because I haven't. You're right.
Oh my God. Insane. You not only have studied, you understood that verse better than he did. He's obviously has no idea what he's talking about. Your commentary on the verse is more accurate than him. So he's the one who hasn't studied it, not you. I hope she sees this, because she deserves much better than this. She was honestly like going in and looking into these verses, and they made her feel like a fool. They made her feel like she doesn't know what she's talking about. They made her feel like she's being disingenuous. They made her feel like she's having crocodile tear. They make her fun of her emotions. They make fun of the fact that she's crying. But no, I mean, the fact that you have a heart of stone and don't feel emotion over the fact that your disgusting prophet legitimizes rape of slaves in battle. The fact that you don't have an emotional reaction towards that says more about you than her. I mean, she has a kind... I mean, it does say something about her. The fact that she's crying, to me, shows that she has a kind heart, that she doesn't want to believe or endorse such disgusting ideology. She's better than you. She is better than you. You're making fun of her like, oh my God, look at her. She needs therapy. Why is she crying so much? Because she's better than you. Because she has a kind heart and you don't. Because you're endorsing a disgusting prophet and she doesn't want to do that. That's why she's crying. Go on, Anna.
Also, regarding just how disgusting Muhammad was, regarding to captives, the story with his wife, Safiya, his Jewish wife, how he treated her, how he took her, there was like a Jewish city called Khaybar, and they conquered it.
Let's not get into that right now, Anna, because we want to do an entire... That's a good topic. But guys, make sure you subscribe, because Anna, that's a good idea. Let's do an entire stream on that. Because we're already over an hour and I don't want to get into that.
Let me say two more words. So Muhammad himself took a wife from captives and had a sexual relationship with her immediately after he took her as a captive.
That's a good teaser, and it gets a lot more disgusting than that. So if you want to see that, make sure you subscribe and you hit the bell notification, because we're going to go over that story one day. But also, I just want to mention to you guys that as promised, we have been demonetized. So I just want to thank everybody in the live chat who the stream got demonetized before we even finished. So I just want to thank all the people who use the Super Chat, because we cannot continue doing these streams given how often we get demonetized. Again, YouTube didn't even wait for us to finish the stream before it demonetized us. I'm going to request a review, because we didn't say anything wrong in this stream. But before YouTube decides to... it takes a couple of days usually before YouTube reviews this. And by that time, we have... already most of the people who were supposed to see the stream, it's already passed. So this is what we have to deal with. And this is why we need you guys to support. But even if you can't use Super Chats, please at least like the stream, because when we get demonetized, we also get deprioritized. That means YouTube will recommend us less. And if you like the stream, it will undo some of that. And if you like the stream, it gets suggested a little bit more. So by liking the stream, actually not a little bit more, a lot more. So like the stream, because that has a huge effect. And if you also want to help us even more, you could leave a comment after the stream is over, because that will undo the deprioritization. So please at least leave a comment and like. And also, we just got another super chat. So thank you guys, because we need these super chats to be able to continue, because all this time that we put here would not make any sense with all these demonetizations. So Cleo with the super chat say, but they convert those who don't know old Arabic. Yes, exactly. The people who don't know old Arabic, they're still apparently have enough knowledge to be able to become Muslim. Exactly. Great point. So here, this is again. I was hoping this stream doesn't get demonetized. That's why I was constantly saying RAPE instead of using the actual word, but it didn't work. We were trying to be careful, but YouTube, again, By the way, let me tell you this, Anna, before we need to end this right now. Mm-hmm. If this was against Christianity right now, this stream would not get demonetized. If this stream was against Christianity, like, we wouldn't have to deal with this level of demonetization most of the time. I mean, sometimes we do, but most of the time, if it's against Islam, it's more likely for us to get demonetized. But here,
like, right now, I have no idea how to play this game with the monetization thing. Really, I'm trying not to say any sensitive words, and still it's getting demonetized. So,
yes. All right, guys. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for the tafsir. Thank you, guys. Thank Anna for her great knowledge on Islam, which is more than most of these Dawah people, by the way. And she's been doing this only for the past year, and she's already... Anna is very smart. So she's like, when she learns something, she learns it like this, which is incredible. Sometimes she says some things about Islam that I'm like, holy crap, I didn't even know that. So thank you, Anna. All right, guys. Make sure you like the stream. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell notification. And see you again on the next stream soon. Bye.
Bye.